From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today struck down as unconstitutional state laws that make it a crime for same-sex couples to engage in consensual sex in the privacy of their homes. By invalidating these so-called sodomy laws, the court also reversed its own decision of 17 years ago. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The scene in the courtroom was dramatic this morning as Justice Anthony Kennedy, his voice trembling slightly, declared that individual decisions concerning the intimacies of physical relationships are a form of liberty protected by the Constitution. The court's 6-3 decision came in a case that began 5 years ago in Houston, when sheriff's deputies, acting on what turned out to be a false report of a disturbance, entered the apartment of John Lawrence. Instead of a disturbance, the police found Lawrence and another man having sex. The two were arrested for violating the Texas anti-sodomy law, held overnight, and eventually fined for their crime. They appealed their convictions all the way to the Supreme Court, and today, the High Court ruled that the law used to prosecute them was an unconstitutional violation of their liberty. 12 states, in addition to Texas, have laws that make sodomy a crime, about half the number that existed 17 years ago when the first test of these laws came to the Supreme Court. Back then, in a case called Bowers v. Hardwick, the court upheld the laws by a 5-4 vote, with Chief Justice Berger writing that such laws are firmly rooted in centuries of Judeo-Christian moral and ethical standards. Today, though, Justice Kennedy said that opinion had misread history. Far from having ancient roots, said Kennedy, American laws targeting same-sex couples did not develop until the last third of the 20th century. And in upholding those laws 17 years ago, the court, he said, had been wrong. Sitting in the courtroom was Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe, who 17 years ago argued unsuccessfully that state sodomy laws should be struck down. Today, there were tears in his eyes.
I guess my wife and I have known an awful lot of people whose lives have been messed up by these laws that make people criminals for what they do with people that they love in the privacy of their bedroom.
It's not that gays have been prosecuted in any significant numbers under these laws, said Justice Kennedy in his opinion. The offense may be a minor one, a misdemeanor as it is in Texas, but it remains a criminal offense with all that imports for the dignity of the persons charged, including notation of convictions on their records and on job application forms. And in 4 states, it requires registration as a sex offender. Yale law professor Bill Eskridge, who's written extensively in this area of the law, says today's ruling will, in fact, require many states to change other laws, like adoption laws.
A number of states, such as Alabama, Mississippi, and other states in the South and other parts of the country, there is a strong, almost per se presumption against child custody and adoption by gay and lesbian and bisexual parents. Very often these presumptions have been justified by reference to state consensual sodomy laws. Now that these laws are no longer constitutionally valid, states like Alabama, Mississippi, Virginia, Florida will have to rethink those anti-gay presumptions.
Linda Kaufman, a lesbian who lives in Virginia, had adopted one child from foster care in the District of Columbia when 4 years ago she went to adopt a second and found herself stymied by the state's sodomy law.
4 years ago, I decided to adopt another child, and I live in Virginia. And when I made that decision, I had no idea that when my case went down to Richmond, that they would send back the sodomy law and the cohabitation law and say, we can't let you adopt, you're a criminal.
This year, the state finally settled a lawsuit with Kaufman, allowing her to adopt a 14-year-old boy who'd been in foster care. For the gay community, today's ruling was a cause for celebration. So what, one might wonder, has changed in 17 years? First, only 2 of the justices in the Bowers majority are still on the court. One of them, Justice O'Connor, switched sides in this case, but did not go as far today as the other 5 majority justices. She would have invalidated the Texas law because it punished homosexuals, but not heterosexuals, for identical conduct. What else has changed in these 17 years? Justice Kennedy, in his majority opinion, acknowledged that society has changed, that, as he put it, the nation's laws and traditions in the last half century show an emerging awareness that liberty gives substantial protection to adult persons in deciding how to conduct their private lives in matters pertaining to sex. Even the European Court of Human Rights has recognized such rights, he noted. 17 years ago, said Kennedy, the U.S. Supreme Court observed that for centuries there had been powerful voices condemning homosexual conduct as immoral. But Kennedy said the court's obligation is to define the liberty of all, not to mandate its own moral code. Thus, he said, the Bowers case was wrong when it was decided and is now overruled. This case, said Kennedy, does not involve children or people who might be coerced. It does not involve public conduct or prostitution. It does involve two adults who, with full and mutual consent, engaged in homosexual practices, conduct they have the right to engage in without government intervention. The Texas law at issue in this case, said Kennedy, furthers no legitimate state interest which can justify its intrusion into the individual's personal and private life. Harvard's Professor Tribe explains the court's reversal this way.
What in 1986 was almost certainly an anachronism now is almost clearly an embarrassment. It's only a totalitarian government that can tell you the most intimate details of what kind of relationship you can have with another consenting adult.
And Yale's Professor Eskridge believes that, in a way, Bowers sowed the seeds of its own destruction.
Bowers actually was the instrument of its own demise, because it did drive thousands of gay and lesbian and bisexual attorneys out of their closets. And I think one of the important things that has changed is the audience for the court's opinion. In 1986, the court did not see its audience as containing significant or influential numbers of gay, lesbian, bisexual attorneys or other Americans. And today's debate between Justice Kennedy for the majority and Justice Scalia in dissent has almost reversed it.
Indeed, Justice Antonin Scalia's criticism of the court majority opinion today was scathing. The court, he said, has taken sides in the culture war. It has largely signed on to a homosexual agenda aimed at eliminating the moral opprobrium that has traditionally attached to homosexual conduct. Let me be clear, said Scalia, I have nothing against homosexuals or any other group promoting their agenda through the normal democratic legislative process. One of the benefits of leaving regulation of such matters to the people rather than to the courts, said Scalia, is that the people, unlike judges, need not carry things to their logical conclusion. The court majority, he noted, had gone out of its way to suggest that today's ruling should not be read as an endorsement of gay marriage. Said Scalia, don't believe them. In the political world today, with a few exceptions, most politicians sought to stay away from criticizing the court. President Bush's spokesman Ari Fleischer dodged questions on the subject, though a few on Capitol Hill were willing to weigh in. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions.
I'm afraid that too many opinions along this line that seem to be striking a political balance rather than a legal result could be dangerous.
In the religious community, no major denomination had asked the court to uphold sodomy laws, and today what criticism there was fairly muted. The Reverend Rob Schenck, the head of the National Clergy Council, was one of the few to speak out.
This is a lamentable outcome, and what it does in effect, the court has said today that morality, matters of right and wrong behavior, do not matter in the law.
Today's ruling in the Texas sodomy case provided a tumultuous ending to the Supreme Court term. No retirements were announced, meaning that at least for now, the Capitol is saved from what promises to be a truly epic battle when there is a court vacancy. This week's court decisions on gay rights and affirmative action are evidence of why the country cares who sits on the court and what kind of judgments they make. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.